How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan. And today we are, we're going to be talking about football, obviously. Football and politics at the same time, which is a rare occasion. And the government shutdown. So, it should be interesting. So just, if you're doing something, then I suppose listen in the background. If you're not, then relax and, just listen, I guess. So the Cardinals had a struggling run game last week. They did not do well. I'm trying to figure out how to say his name. The running back for the Cardinals, one of them fumbled at the goal line. It was an unforced fumble, so he had a good run. He broke free, and then he got, I guess, excited and dropped the ball at the goal line. I think it is I had to look up his name so I could read it. Amari DiMercato. Yeah, DiMercato. Okay, so yeah, he only had 3 carries last week. I don't know the day, but he only had 3 carries, but he had 81 yards, which is, that's good. That's really good. But like I said, he had the fumble to where he kind of just ran. He broke free, like I said. He got all the way down to the goal line, then he dropped the ball. Happens not. It's not uncommon, I guess, but it's certainly not common. It's happened in the NFL before, but he got reamed on the sideline by his coach, and his coach actually got fined $100,000 because they broadcasted on the sideline the coaching and DiMercato. And the coach was yelling at him, as you might suspect the coach to do. The article said swiped at his arm, so I guess smacked it is my understanding. So they fined him $100,000, and he did release a statement basically apologizing. I don't have the statement, but he said something along the lines of, I woke up this morning and I regretted it, essentially. So he addressed it in team meeting and apologized, I suppose. So $100,000 fine for him. Fair enough. You can't go hitting players. They fire coaches for that. The league could have done something, but they opted to not do anything about it. Valid, I guess. The club, like the football team has taken, or the Cardinals themselves have taken, action. So I don't know exactly what, but he did in fact get in trouble there. Tyreek Hill, I think we already talked about this, is out for season with a knee injury. I just think it's worth bringing up again because, people might not know, but also when he was being hauled off the field in the gator that they bring out there to get him up off the field because he can't walk, he's got a knee injury. He the camera zoomed in on his face, and he gives, like, the biggest clap, and then screams, yes, and, like, shakes his hands in the air. Like, it's clear as day, that's what he said. So I think that's just funny. I think Tyreek really just didn't want to play this year. I think he saw the way the Dolphins season was heading, and he just opted to, well, I don't think he opted to get hurt. I think he just got hurt, and he decided that this was the best thing that ever could have happened to him, apparently. He was smiling. He was caught in the back of the ambulance on the way to the hospital, and he was a big smile. Big smile on his face. and he was, I think, recording a video. I think Tyreka said he was just laughing through the pain, but, you know, like I said, clear as day, he claps, and then he says, like, screams, yes! Like, I promise you, like, it's even that long. Like, he's, like, it's you know, exaggerated. So, I think that's funny. And that's really the only reason I brought it up again. They did ask Tua about it. I figure I could throw this in there. And Tua just said that's Tyreek being Tyreek, and he just jokes. So, you could take their word for it, and Tyreek was just laughing through the pain, and that's just him. But I think that Tyreek, like I said, saw the way the Dolphins season was heading and opted to, well, again, he did not opt to get hurt. He just, he was just really happy when the injury happened, which, you know, I would say fair enough, but I, you know, honestly, I mean, I've never been in the NFL, but I honestly don't think I'd ever just want to get hurt. I think I'd rather lose every game of every year than get hurt. Like, especially the way he did. His leg was bent, like, 90 degrees. Like, I don't even, like, you'd have to, like, it's very obviously messed up. Very much so messed up. I don't know what all they said is wrong with it, but you could tell there's something wrong with it. I would never want that to happen. I could tell you that much. But that's the whole Tyreek thing, so, you know, hopefully Tyreek recovers well. That's about all you can hope for with a sports injury is that, well, I mean, you don't hope for a sports injury, period, but if somebody were to get injured, you just hope that they, you know, come back playing as well as they were before. Dylan Gabriel, by the way, first start, we talked about that last week. He hadn't played yet, but he played really well, in my opinion, considerably better than I, thought he would. He threw 190 yards for 2 TDs, no interceptions. They did lose to the Vikings, 21-17. But, you know, honestly, for a first start, 190, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions is pretty good. Especially considering that's better than all of Joe Flacco's stat lines for this year. So the rookie Dylan Gabriel came in and already is playing better than Flacco has in the last 5 games, I think he played this year. He played 4 games this year. I lied. So, sorry, I was looking at the things here. His, Joe Flacco's, best game was against Cincinnati, which is, funnily enough, one of the stories, because he got traded to Cincinnati. But Joe Flacco's best game of the season has been against Cincinnati. And it was their first game of the year. He threw 290 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. And that's, you know, not good. And he is not, by the way, he has not played a clean game all year. In the game against Cincinnati, 2 interceptions. The game against Baltimore, 1 interception. Green Bay had a pick, and Detroit had 2 interceptions. So on the year, Joe Flacco's stat line is 8-15 for 2 TDs and 6 interceptions. That's a rough stat line. But he does play for the Browns. The Browns have that tendency. Hate to break it to you, Browns fans, but I'm sure that you are all well aware of this at this point. You draft quarterbacks like every other year. anyways. So we touched on it just a bit there, but Joe Flacco was traded to the Bengals, and I think that's honestly the best move that the Bengals could have made. I mean, they could have picked up a different free agent quarterback, I suppose, but I think Joe Flacco is probably playing for not much money, if I'm being honest, and I figure that, you know, he's definitely better than... I almost said Jake Fromm. I can't even think of his name. That's Jake Browning? Yeah, Browning. But yeah, he has played very poorly. Let's look at his stat line on the year real fast. So, you know, honestly, I will not lie to you. His stat line, I don't know about better, because, I mean, he does have, he, like, two interceptions, three picks. Or, sorry, two TDs, three interceptions. One TD, two interceptions. Three TDs, three interceptions. He's on track, if he were to be the starting quarterback, to have the Jameis Winston, like, 30 for 33, I think it was. 30 touchdowns, 33 interceptions. So, but, you know, Joe Flacco does have significantly better, I don't know what the line at the Bengals looks like, I won't lie, but I will say that, he has significantly better wide receivers, so that definitely gonna play into it, but like I said, also hasn't had a clean game, there we go, this year. At least Jake Browning has had a clean game, but he didn't throw any touchdowns that game either. He went no touchdowns for no interceptions, but he threw for, like, I don't remember, 200 yards or something like that. So, I mean, I think, honestly, Joe Flacco could do okay at the Bengals. I just think it'll be an interesting, It'll be an interesting team. I mean, he's certainly no Joe Burrow, so there's that. You're not going to be going to the... Actually, you know, honestly, I think if Joe Flacco takes the Bengals to the Super Bowl at this point, it'd be well worth it. I'd be happy. But yeah, so there's that. I figure that with the receivers he has at the Bengals, he could do better. Like I said, there's no real wide receivers at the Browns. I mean, they drafted a rookie whose name I can't think of for some reason, and they have Jerry Jeudy, and they have Cedric Tillman, people like that. So they do have wide receivers, but they're all like none of them are like wide receiver one wide receivers. There are, like, three wide receiver one material wide receivers at the Bengals. Now, I don't know if they're all healthy. I'm pretty sure Ja'Marr Chase is healthy because he's been upset by how poorly the Bengals have been playing. But, I mean, you'll have that. So, good move for the Bengals, and honestly, I think good move for Joe Flacco, too. He lost his starting job to Dillon Gabriel, and he got it right back, and all he had to do was move to the bottom of Ohio from the top of Ohio. So, fair enough. I mean, you could get traded to a whole other state. That's always worse. Yeah, so I wanted to make sure that that was it for that story. There is another fine, though. This one is significantly more interesting, in my opinion. I mean, it's not interesting per se. It's just funny. The NFL fined Jerry Jones $250,000 because Jerry Jones. One second. I want to get his tweet that he tweeted out. Okay, so. Jerry Jones was at the, as you might suspect, it was a home game, I do believe. The Cowboys beat the Jets 37-22. Jerry Jones, somebody took a video of him and he flipped off the Jets fans and then, like, pointed at them, like, you know, middle finger, and then pointed at them. So, I mean, it was obvious what was happening. I mean, if you see the video, I mean, I mean, it's pretty evident. Jerry Jones, his response was, "That was unfortunate. There was a swarm of Cowboys fans out front. It was right after we made our last touchdown. I put up the wrong show on hand." Okay. "That was unfortunate. There was a swarm of Cowboys fans out front. It was right after we made our last touchdown. I put up the wrong show on hand." The intention was, and then it's a thumbs up emoji. He used a thumbs up emoji. So he's saying that he intended to do a thumbs up emoji. He attempted to do a thumbs up. I was looking at the emoji. But I guess somehow, in some way, when he went to raise up his thumb, his hand went, you know, vertical, and it wasn't his thumb that came up. Vertical. I don't know. I mean, I think if he's telling the truth, then the man's got some serious health conditions he needs to get looked at. He obviously does not have fine motor control of his hands if he can't even determine which finger to put up. I don't know. I just think that story's hilarious. Even, like, especially if you think more about it. Like, I mean, on the surface, it's funny, I guess, because Jerry Jones flipped off Jets fans after winning. But, you know, it's just that kind of thing, I suppose. Sports. But, like, you know, if you really think about it, the Cowboys are 2-2-1. 2 wins, 2 losses, 1 tie, okay? And the Jets are 0-5. They have not won a single game yet this year. Okay. And Jerry Jones was so excited about beating the 0-5 Jets. Again, 0-5. That he felt the need to, you know, give an inappropriate hand gesture to the Jets fans. I just think that is he acts like they beat, they didn't beat an undefeated team. They beat the exact opposite. It's like playing the Browns when they went 1-15 every year. You won. Congrats. It was a free win. And even then, like, 37-22, you let him score 22 points? That's wild. So, you know, Jerry Jones is just a funny kind of fellow. Like, he put in a big glass window in the stadium. It looks nice, I'll give him that. But he did not think about, you know, it's a football stadium. So, when the sun's setting, if you go to, like if you're running a route and you're in the, end zone, or not the end zone in general, just, like, if you're looking towards this window while running a route, it's like, impossible to see the ball because you're staring into the sun, which is just beaming through the window. He's just an interesting kind of guy. So, that's really, you know, I don't know, I don't know what else to say. I like Jerry Jones. He's, you know, I mean, he's been there a minute. I mean, he used to know. I don't know if he still knows what he's doing. That's to be debated at this point. But, yeah. So, Jerry Jones fined $250,000. Now, the next one actually has to do a bit with Ohio, too. It has to do with Bernie Moreno, our senator. Or one of our senators, I suppose. One second here. Okay. Bernie Moreno is upset with the NFL for the Bad Bunny Hall of Fame... Hall of Fame. Bad Bunny halftime Super Bowl performance. I guess all the other conservatives, I suppose. He said in a quote, with Nicholas Balassi. I probably pronounced that wrong. Balassi. Anyways, he said the NFL made a decision that was clearly partisan. Why else would you pick? Sorry, it threw me off because there was a comma in the middle of the sentence, but it's just like a breaking up. Why else would you pick, you know, some second-rate musician to play in our greatest sporting event? It makes no sense whatsoever. I thought the guy's Saturday Night Live appearance was insulting to the country. And by the way, for those of you who do not know, in Bad Bunny's Saturday Night Live appearance, he said, I'm very excited to be doing the Super Bowl, and I know that people all around the world who love my music are also happy, he said in English. Well, he said that, you know, portion there in English, before he switched to Spanish and said, especially all the Latinos and Latinas across the world, and here in the United States, all those who have worked to open doors. It's more than an achievement for myself, it's an achievement for all of us. He said over applause. It shows our footprint and our contribution to this country. By the way, I assume you figured, but the over applause thing was from the article I got the quote from. It's more than an achievement for myself. It's an achievement for all of us. It shows our footprint and contribution to this country that no one will ever be able to take away or erase. And then he said, if you didn't understand what I just said, you have 4 months to learn. Because he said, you know, the last part in Spanish. So, Bernie Moreno's not a fan of him being at the Super Bowl halftime. And thought that his SNL monologue, I suppose, was insulting to the country. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the man being Bad Bunny, by the way, I wanted to look up some of his stats, because, I mean, I don't know him either, so I just felt the need to look up some of his stats here. He is the 12th most popular artist in the world on Spotify with 80 million monthly listeners, and I don't remember what it said. But he tops some charts. I don't know what charts. Some music charts, obviously. So he is popular. I mean, around the world, and I assume in the United States, that, you know, we have a lot of Spanish-speaking people, and even then, I mean, there are a lot of people who listen to just music that's not English. So I'm sure that he is quite popular. I mean, the Spotify numbers are there. And also, I don't know for certain how Spotify does their numbers, but I think they do it by, like, region somehow. So I think those are, like, well, I don't know. Because it does say world on Spotify. So yeah, he is 12th most popular artist in the world on Spotify with 80 million monthly listeners. Let's see here. His most popular song is called DTMF. I don't know what it means. And it has 1.1 billion streams. So it's been listened to 1.1 billion times. Oh, never mind, I lied. His most popular song, he's got 3 songs in his top 10 that are over a billion. DTMF, which is over a billion. I assume that's just his most recent album, because the popular their top 10 on Spotify isn't actually based on, like, streams. It's based on essentially, like, trending. So if an album comes out, usually the top 10 is going to be kind of diluted for a while. But even if this is diluted, these are incredible numbers. So 1 billion for DTMF. He's got 2.25 billion on La Canción, I don't know, LACANCION, so 2.25 billion on that one, and then Dials, he's got one, like one and an eighth billion. So, I mean, top 10, three songs that have a combined total of like 5 billion listens. He is one of the biggest artists in the world, so there is that. I mean, like I said, I have no dog in the fight. I don't watch the Super Bowl halftime show to begin with. It's, I don't know. I've not been interested in it, usually. I watched the last one with Kendrick Lamar, but besides that, I couldn't tell you who anybody has been in my... I don't know. I just don't watch the halftime show. So, you know, they're not a fan of Bad Bunny at the halftime. Also, Trump has said something as well. He said that he has never heard of Bad Bunny, which I'm with Trump on that one. Never heard of Bad Bunny until now. I don't know who he is. I don't know why they're doing it. It's like crazy, he said. They blame it on some promoter they hired to pick up entertainment. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I assume they being the NFL. So Trump's also not a fan, as is, well, everybody. I can't think of the lady's name, but, the president's press secretary lady, she said that, that ICE was not going to have a presence at the Super Bowl, but I do believe it was Christy Noel. I hope I got the name right. I didn't write this one down. Christy Noem. Okay. Yeah, I think it's Christy Noem. Okay. Yeah. They, anyways, she said that she, by the way, Secretary of Homeland Security, she said the ICE was going to be all over the game, and then, and that's when, Trump's, you know, press lady said that, ICE was not going to be at the game. So, you know, I don't know about the ICE presence at the football game. I think that that's probably bad for the NFL, for the sheer fact, I mean, I don't know. I would assume there would be people who don't go to the game because of it, and not even, it's just like a, you know, for political reasons, they see it as like a political thing, so they probably wouldn't go because, you know, ICE. And obviously, I mean, if there were illegals who were going to go, they would probably not go should ICE be there, because, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they would. I mean, I have not a clue. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about ICE being at the Super Bowl. I think that might just, you know, make things a little... I don't know if tense is the right word, but that's the best I got for you. So it might make things a little tense. So, you know, you could just... yeah, like I said, don't know how I feel about that. But, I don't know. I won't watch the Super Bowl halftime show anyways. Never do. Or, you know, hardly do, I suppose. But yeah, Bad Bunny, like I said, 12th most popular artist in the world on Spotify. Three songs on his top 10. Sorry, I forgot the other thing. Three songs on his top 10 with a combined total of roughly like 5 billion listens. Or streams, however you want to say it. Okay, so we can move on to the government shutdown now. I don't have anything else to talk about as far as football goes. I just thought those were some of the funny stories. I mean, I could give you like scores, I suppose, but that doesn't sound interesting. So the government, as most of you probably know or are aware, the government is shut down. This is day 8 of the government shutdown. And it is my understanding, based on what I've read, that both sides seem to think that that people are going to blame the other side for the shutdown. So everybody's kind of just holding their ground as far as that goes. But I did find it interesting, because they've had 6 votes now, if I recall correctly. All of which have failed, obviously, otherwise the government would be open. But the... Sorry, there it is. Rand Paul, Republican out of Kentucky, voted no to fund the government. So he actually voted in bloc with the Democrats. Rand Paul from Kentucky. Two Democrats and an independent voted in favor of the bill. The Democrats being Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada and John Fetterman of Pennsylvania. Joined by the independent Senator Angus King of Maine. So the vote ended up being, I do believe it was 54-45, and it failed. You need 60 votes, so, you know, here we are, going on, most likely day 9, being tomorrow. I don't know. I think the whole thing's interesting. Like I said, Republicans seem to think that that people are blaming the Democrats, and Democrats seem to think that people are blaming the Republicans, so nothing's really happening because everybody thinks that they're winning. I don't know. It is just a mess as it stands. Oh, by the way, John Fetterman said that he voted in favor. I don't know if the other two have had statements or not, but I happened across this one. Fetterman said that he voted in favor of the Republican-backed bill to end disruptions caused by the shutdown, saying, "It was wrong when the Republicans did this, and now it's the same situation. Now it's actually our party that's driving it, and I think that's absolutely the wrong decision," he told, Fetterman told ABC News. I don't know, even if that is what he thinks, I don't know that that's the right thing to say. I mean, now I don't like it necessarily when people fall on party lines, but I don't think it's necessarily a good idea to attack your own party. Like, he is not in favor of the bill. He, like, pretty much points out that he's not in favor of the bill. But, he is not a fan of the government being shut down either, because people aren't being paid and, you know, things of that sort. People are furloughed and, you know, whatnot. But he says in this quote, "It was wrong when the Republicans did it." Well, I guess that's a paraphrase. But it was wrong when the Republicans did this, and now it's the same situation. Okay, so that's, I mean, I guess that's fine, because he says that it was wrong when they did it, it's wrong when we do it. But now, I mean, I don't know, it does seem like he's throwing the Democrats under the bus, because now you have a Democrat saying that the Democrats are the ones that are extending the shutdown. And that, seems to be, well, not good for the Democrats. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that Rand Paul has said anything. He voted against the Republicans, and he's a Republican from Kentucky. So, I mean, that's interesting. I don't know. Like I said, I think the whole shutting down of the government has been interesting up to this point. I don't think anything's really been been moved on from. They've certainly not, it certainly seems like no ground has been covered. It seems like they have all just kind of, stuck with their points, and that's what they're sticking with, and, yeah, I think it was Hakeem Jeffries said that, the government can, we can fund healthcare and reopen the government. Basically, we can do both, but we can't do either. We're either doing both, or neither are happening. So, I mean, I don't know. It's all, the whole, I don't even know how to like, phrase it. I just think that the whole thing doesn't make sense. I mean, is it not everybody's fault? I mean, the Democrats could just align with the Republicans and open the thing up. But I guess the Republicans could just give people the health care, and then that would open the government back up. Yeah. So, I mean, it just... I don't know. It just seems like they're yelling at stone walls. I don't even think the other person's listening anymore. Or the other party. I'm trying to figure out if Rand Paul has said why he voted in opposition. So, I mean, I think that's interesting. I think he's been the only one to really go against Trump in the entire, entirety. I mean, I guess, like, Ted Cruz has said some things. I think that's him. Anyways, if I'm thinking of the right person. Yeah, but anyways, I do believe it's Ted Cruz who has said some things, in favor. Well, not in favor, but, in opposition of Donald Trump. But it's not really in opposition of Trump, it's more just like, because he doesn't really mention Trump, he just kind of, Trump says something and then, like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but somewhere around the Charlie Kirk assassination, he I think it was when Jimmy Kimmel got taken off the air, actually, and I think that it was Ted Cruz who posted that he didn't think Jimmy Kimmel should be taken off. I think that's what it was. So, I mean, there have been, they're not exactly lockstep, I would suppose, but what they're not lockstep on seems to be kind of, not irrelevant, but kind of, you know. They just seem to be focused on controversy. I don't know. I think the more I look into the government shutdown, it just... By the way, there are two bills that they're trying to pass. They've been trying to pass both of them. The one is the Republican-backed bill. The one is the Democratic-backed bill. I don't know what the difference is, but to my understanding, or to my knowledge at least, not to my understanding, I haven't looked. But to my knowledge, the only thing that the Democrats want to change that isn't currently in there is the fact that they want to get... I don't even think they want to give. I think they just want to give back, because I'm pretty sure when the Big Beautiful Bill was passed, perhaps it was, that took away all the funding, or not all, but a lot of the funding for Medicare, Medicaid, I do believe it was, that... So I don't know. I forgot what I was in the middle of saying. I feel like there was a point to be made, but I can't think of it, so irrelevant, I suppose. But he has Rand Paul has I don't think he's given a statement, per se. There is a YouTube video, but I just want to read it. Rand Paul also voted against the Big Beautiful Bill, saying most Kentuckians should have would have seen that he was a no vote on the Big Beautiful Bill. He pointed out the fact that it would... I think this was just the Big Beautiful Bill, though. So I don't think this is exactly correct. But he called the Big Beautiful Bill a debt bomb. So, that's interesting. But we have 5 minutes left in the show. It's gone by pretty quick, and that's good. There is one last story to talk about, I suppose. By the way, Tyreek Hill, is going through a divorce, and his, I guess, ex-wife. Still, I don't know if they're still married or not at this point, but there is a divorce going through, so ex-wife. Has accused him, Lakita Vaquero, I do believe is how you'd pronounce that, has accused him of ripping her hair, throwing her to the ground, and other instances of domestic violence, in a newly unsealed document in the divorce case between the two. The NFL has, because of the allegations that, that she put forward, the NFL has to do a, well, I don't know if they have to, but they're going to do a review, basically just to see, my assumption is that, I guess they're going to see if they could, trying to think of who it was. Kareem Hunt, maybe, I think it was. He got some kind of domestic violence charge, and they just suspended him. But he was out for a long time. I think it was like a year. Felt like a year, at least. It might have just been like half a year, but half a year feels like forever. Anyways, that's like off topic, I suppose, about the time. But, so, trying to find out where I am at. But yeah, so the NFL has to do a review, so they could suspend him if they felt the need. They did ask, by the way, this is the New York Times. Attorneys for Vaquero, that's his ex-wife, and Hill, so both of them, did not respond for requests for comment. I didn't see the immediately. Attorneys for Vaquero and Hill did not immediately respond to a request for comment. But in a September 4th letter from one of Hill's lawyers, so this is from Tyreek Hill's defense team, Seth Schneiderman, to Vaquero's lawyer, Evan R. Marks, Schneiderman said the allegations in the amended petition are demonstrably false, exaggerated, and distort prior events in a manner that suggests bad faith litigation. So that was Tyreek's lawyer's response. The Dolphins did not respond to a request for comment, as one might suspect. They asked the NFL for comment, and the NFL did respond. They said that the matter remains under review of the personal conduct policy. So, like I said, if they find him in violation of the personal conduct policy, they will suspend him and probably fine him. I doubt it'll be a permanent suspension, though. Never is. Mike Vick fought dogs, went to federal prison, got out of prison, and then played for the Eagles. I'm sure Tyreek is going to be fine. Unfortunately, for better or for worse. Should the allegations be true, I suppose that is. But I suppose that he tried to get her to sign a post-nuptial agreement. So, I assume it's the same as a prenup. My money's my money, your money's your money, if we get divorced after this point, I guess. I guess every time Tyreek would bring it up, he would get, aggressive, because I guess he's the one who wanted her to sign it. I don't know. The whole situation's weird, and like I said, for better or for worse, I do think Tyreek Hill is probably gonna be fine in the long run. Like I said, Mike Vick fought dogs, got out of prison. Or sorry, fought dogs, went to federal prison, got out of federal prison, and then the Eagles were like, man, I need a quarterback, and then he went and played for Philadelphia. What a slap on the wrist that was from Mike Vick. And same thing for Kareem Hunt, and I think Ray Rice had a similar thing. It just goes on and on and on, but with that being said, I appreciate everybody for listening, and
you're listening goodbye. To The Talking Place from...
Come in handy too with that electricity.